Aren't you glad he's good to you? He loved you first. Glory to God. It feels good to be loved, doesn't it? Glory to God. Let's come to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord God, for your anointing to be in this place. Father God, to fix lives, to fix situations, to mend broken hearts, Father God. We thank you that your power, your anointing destroys yokes that the enemy has placed on lives today, Father God. We thank you that your power, Father God, is present. We have authority over the enemy in Jesus' name. Father, today we give you all the glory, the praise, and honor for what is done in this service. Father, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for life, Father God. We thank you for your truth. Glory to God, we're going to glean on your word today, Father God. We're just going to lean, Father God, on you, our supplier, our foundation, our standby, our buckler, our rearward, Father God. The Holy Ghost, whom you've sent us, will teach us today. Father, we're hungry. We're ready to learn. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory and honor. And we expect, Father God, you to teach us and guide us today by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for myself as you guide my tongue and guide my words, Father God, to edify you and to edify us, to lift us up with life, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Father, you're good. We lean on you. Father God, you're our strength. Jesus, you've been so good to us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your selflessness on the cross. We thank you for your selflessness, Father God, that Jesus came to this earth and lived as a man and dealt with all the things that are here now, but he did it sinless. Father, thank you for that sacrifice that you made. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, we ask you today, teach us, guide us, show us things to come. Bring things to our remembrance, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you can be seated. Y'all can clap for the praise and worship team if you want to. Come on. Thank God for good praise and worship. It's a lot easier. I can testify. It's a lot easier when you guys are hungry and worshiping and doing your part, when we're out here doing our part, and when these are up here singing and praising God, and you're doing your part. And when I get up here for tithes and offerings, like Pastor Mike did this morning, Pastor Coach Elisha Mike, it gets thick. You get excited. You forget about tithes and offerings. Right? You just want to minister because, man, it's when the life of God is present, man, things are good. Right? And we live in we're in a church that is alive. Thank God. But you know what gives it life? It comes from the Word. But what are you doing here? I thought that was Allie for a second. Then Allie came around. Wait a minute. Sorry. The life comes from the Word that we enjoy. But how many of you know you don't get to, you know, have this bounce off of you unless you accept it, unless you're hungry for it? And I believe there's a hunger in this church that's never been like this before. It's over the years it's increased over and over. It's just gotten higher and higher, but we've never been to this level, ever. But we're not staying here, right? I'm not staying here. We're getting hungrier and hungrier, right? The Word of God is different. Things of God are different. He takes natural things and describes them, but they're a little bit different. Like when you're hungry naturally, you can go down to Bon Tom's down here and get you a hamburger, one of those big ones, and you're not hungry anymore for a long time. Right? You go down to Wendy's, get you a meal deal, right? And they kind of trick us now because you think a medium is kind of small, but a medium's not small anymore. A medium's not medium anymore. Just give me a medium, and the thing's this big. You know, the Coke is that big. I'm like, I just wanted a medium. Good night. You just eat it, and you're full. And you wait a while, and then you're hungry again. Well, the Word of God, when you feed on the Word of God, it just makes you, it stirs your appetite. It makes you hungrier for what you just got. I'm like, I want more of that. Right? It's kind of like Thanksgiving. It's coming up. You know, there's certain desserts, man, I like. Certain things I like. And I eat a little bit, man, I need some more of that. But there's a point, I've got to stop. I mean, really, there's a point we have to stop. Right? I'm prophesying for you guys. You have to stop. We will come scrape you up off the floor if you don't stop. But the Word of God is just the opposite. There's a flow to it. When you get hungry and you get so full, y'all know, you get full of the Word of God, it comes out of you. It's like you're telling people about it. How many times have you, during your work week or you meet family or whatever, and something that you studied on or God showed you, you needed it. It's like you got it. It's like revelation for you, and all of a sudden, you're ministering to somebody else. Well, I needed that. Well, thank you. I needed that too because I needed a flow. I needed to take it from God, receive it from me, and have a flow to it. Give it to somebody else. Pass it along, right? Keeps us hungry. Keeps us stirred up. Glory to God. Well, if y'all don't know me, my name is Trey. I'm the associate pastor here. And Pastor Andy, the reason he's not here today is he's in Nicaragua with our mission team. Did y'all know that? Most of you probably knew that. Pastor Jimmy and Kelly were just talking. I don't remember what we did the first day we went to. I don't remember the first day. I don't remember if we were preaching or we were packing. I don't remember what we did when we got there the first day. I do not remember. So I don't know what they're doing right now. But I know it's good. And, you know, we haven't heard from anybody yet as far as I know. But it's going to be well. And let's lift that whole mission up in prayer real quick. Father, we just thank you for our mission team that's over in Nicaragua today, Father God, and this week. Father, we just ask that the angels go before them and prepare the hearts, prepare the way that they're going to go. Father, we thank you for safety, for protection over them. The angels, Father God, guard and protect them. Father, give them the words to speak. Each and every minister that's there, Father God, give them ideas and revelation of how to take your gospel into those people. Father, we just thank you again that they'll come back changed. They're going to accomplish the mission that you sent them to do in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's always by the help of the Holy Ghost. Life-changing deal. My wife and I went last year with the team. It was a fantastic time. You go over to places like that to give and to sow and to do and to bless other people. That's your mission. You want to go bless somebody, right? That's your mission. That's what you want to do. But what happens is, typically, they bless you back. And it's worth it not because you bless somebody, but they blessed you. It's crazy how it works. You go to work for God, and he's working on you, right? It's a win-win deal. You bless them, they bless you, and sign me up, right? Glory to God. So if you've never been on a mission trip, I encourage you to sign up and go. We're actually planning to go on two next year, 2014. We're hoping to have two mission trips, not just missions around here, like little, you know, community stuff, but I mean international mission trips. So if it's been on your heart, something stirring, ask Billy and Tracy, ask some of the ones that have been, Miss Lee, Pastor Lee, ask them about it. You know, what do I do? How can I sign up? Get some information. We all know where to flip this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to just pick up where Pastor Andy left off. And you guys, Pastor Andy, you know, it's an honor to stand here and minister for him. It's a privilege, you know, to be able to do this. He's what a great man of God. What a great pastor we have, right? I mean, the guy reaps with love. And everything that he does, and I can speak that from not only just being his associate and being tied in ministry for so long with him, but being part of his family, right? He's my stepdad, but he's a lot closer to that, you know, to me than that. Just a stepdad, he's just my stepdad, right? It's closer. He's a great man of God. We got a great pastor here, right? Don't let me get all emotional on you because I don't want to do it this morning. Glory. But it's, you know, some of the things he's done in my life is just, it's incredible, really. And a lot of you probably have known him over the years. He's probably cut your grass or bush hogged for you or did something for you or just shown up at an event or helped with something. You know, if you've been here very long, Pastor Andy has touched your life. And if you're brand new, just wait. He will. I promise you. Because that's who he is. He doesn't sit still. He doesn't stand in one place. He doesn't want you to come to him. He's going to come to you. That's the man of God that we have in this church. Aren't you glad? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me tell you what. Can I abort that plan just for a second? Can we? Go to, let me make sure the right, I'm going to tell you the right one. I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Yes. Turn there just real quick. You can hold your place at 1 Corinthians if you want to. We're coming back. Let me just remind you of a scripture. 1 Thessalonians toward the back of the Bible. Chapter 3. This is something that Pastor Andy and the staff are praying over you on a daily basis, sometimes more than once, right? It says here, let's just start at verse 11. He says, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Well, that verse 12, that's where he's kind of putting the emphasis on. It says, and the Lord make you to increase. The Lord's going to make you increase in the love and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. This is Paul, you know, talking, writing this church, or writing the letter to this church, and he's saying, he's praying that the Lord would make you increase and abound in love one toward another and unto all men. That's what Pastor Andy and the staff, that's what we're praying for you. So if you've had some tests and challenges in your love walk, that's why. And who hasn't? But the great thing about God is when we miss it, there's grace. There's mercy, right? There's the blood, and it's all about the blood. If it wasn't for the blood, we couldn't sit here today. If it wasn't for the blood, I couldn't stand here today. Just because you preach don't mean you're perfect. It means you probably are having harder tests than the next guy. Right? And sometimes you fall on your face, I mean just flat. Smash. It's ugly. It's bloody. Right? It happens. But we just stand up, we brush off, we run to the throne of grace, find mercy. Right? We find mercy. It's there waiting on us. What does it say in Hebrews? It says, we have to go to the throne. Throne's already been established. All the victories have been won. Our grace and our mercy is waiting on us. It's us. We're the ones that have to, we fall on our face. We're the ones that say, okay, God, forgive me, right? We have to. We don't have a choice. Well, we have a choice, but it's a bad choice. It's the wrong choice. We fall flat on our face. We stand up, we brush off, and we start over. Pick up where we left off and say, God, help me. Help Holy Ghost, right? That's what we do. Now, I'm going to get off track a second, but I'm not. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll come back to that. I believe that came up for a reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Glory to God. I tell you what, we're going to start in chapter 12, verse 31, the very last. We're going to get some context. If you've been to this church very long, and you may have come from churches that took things out of context and it got you confused, and they took a scripture here and they matched it with something else and it didn't fit, but they tried to make it sound like, well, we're a context church. We want to find out who what are they saying, who are they talking to, what situation are, what's the context, where are we living here, what day and time are they in here. Let's find that out, and then we'll figure out what they're saying with the scriptures. Now, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, y'all know that talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Paul is trying to explain to the church. And he told him, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts. I want you to know about them. You've got to have some knowledge about them. I don't want you to be ignorant. That's what Paul was telling him. And then he goes on to say in verse 31, he says, covet earnestly. That means a lot. Earnestly means like go after it. Earnestly with energy and effort. Don't do it weak. Do it strong. He says, covet or desire or want earnestly the best gifts. But he said, I'll show you a more excellent way. So chapter 12 talks about the gifts, the power gifts. You know, how many of you would like to walk in the word of wisdom? Yes, the word of knowledge, miracles, right? Who would like special faith? I'm not talking about just your faith that was given to you, but special faith where just like out of nowhere, God equips you with this faith to believe things that just are just beyond your reach. I mean, we'd like to walk in that, wouldn't we? He says we need a desire. We need to chase after. We need to want to say, God, work in me. Because all that is the gifts that he's saying to desire, it's God working through you. It's not that, hey, for me and so I can look good. It's so God can work through me for somebody else. When you have the word of wisdom, it's not for you. You got the word of knowledge, it's not for you. The working of miracles, it's not for you. It's not. But it has to go through somebody. Right? Just Jesus is a perfect example. God wanted to do some things on the earth for me and you. But he couldn't do it by himself. He had to work through a man. Gifts work the same way. Gifts of the Spirit have to work through a man or a woman, like Pastor, you know, Coach Mike said, a parent, boys and girls, all of us, right? He wants to work through us. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then that more excellent way is what? Tell me. What is it? Love. It's a four-letter word. Some people don't like it. It scares them. I like love. Love's big. Love's a big deal. He says, and let's just read this. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels and have not love, I'm going to change charity into love because it's easy for me to understand, King James, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just loud and make a bunch of noise if I do it without love. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm what? Nothing. Those are gifts he's talking about that God allowed you to walk in, or things God that helped you with, but if I do it outside of love, it means nothing. And then he says, even if I take my natural flesh without God's help, and verse 3, I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. That's without God. I'm just going to take my stuff. I'm going to give my stuff to somebody that doesn't have it. And he says, if I do that without love, and then he says, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Does me any good. No good. Does not do me any good. Not the least bit. Verse 4, he says, love, and this is where Pastor Andy has begun, love suffers long and is kind. It envies not. It vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. And I think that was the last one he went over. Does not behave himself. We're just going to go through them all. We're going to read all the way through the whole chapter. We're going to skip a couple just for time. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And the good news is, love never fails, verse 8. Now that's a long list. And if you just take the list in itself, it's long and big and it's hard to, wow, glory. But if you do what Pastor Andy's been doing, taking each little word and breaking it down and giving you like definitions and it gets even bigger. We need Jesus. Help Holy Ghost, right? How many of you in here help Holy Ghost, right? That's what we ought to be doing. Because and I'm going to show you today, if we try to do this in and of ourselves, we fail. If we do this outside of the way God would do it, we fail. We fall. We miss it. Just the way it is. Can't help it, right? Now let's keep on reading. Verse 8, love never fails. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. Let's go on down to verse 13. He says, and now abideth or occupies faith, hope, love, and these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now look at chapter 14, verse 1. Now we just went from chapter 12, the gifts, chapter 13, love. Chapter 14 says, follow after love, chase after love, and desire spiritual gifts. So what is he saying? He's saying, hear the gifts of the Spirit, desire them, covet them. But let me show you a better way. I'm going to show you love. And then in chapter 14, he says, well, you know what? You take love, you're walking in love, and you desire spiritual gifts, and then you put the two together, you're a force that can't be stopped. Cannot be stopped. Then he says, the very last part of it says, but rather that you prophesy. Why? Because prophesying is edifying people. That's what it does. When somebody prophesies, they better be edifying you. It's the word. It says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men, to men, to edification and exhortation and comfort. Glory to God. God wants to give us the gifts of the Spirit to work through us to help somebody else. It's not for me. It's not for you. It's for somebody else. If we want to be used of God, we better realize that God should get the credit because it's not me. I'm just a vessel. If we make oatmeal at our house, and we kind of like the instant oatmeal because Odie has instant oatmeal at her house that has a lot of fruit and good stuff in it. You pour it out and there's like half of it is like some sugar substance. I'm not real sure. And we had our kids on regular oatmeal with just water and put some honey in there. Honey is good for you. I'd put some honey in there, a lot of honey. Man, just doctor it up. Some milk and some butter stirred up, and they liked it. And just here a month or so ago, I, you know, gave the boys a choice and was helping. And they said, well, Odie's has fruit in it. Really? So we went and got the fruit oatmeal. And it's the, what's it called? Fruit and cream? Fruits and cream or something? It's not like the healthy kind. You know, it's like they got the real healthy with the older guy on it, the Mr. Oatmeal himself. And then they got the other one, and he's just kind of like, this is like a warning. This is really not oatmeal. So yeah, sorry, Odie. So we have oatmeal at our house, and it's Odie's oatmeal now, because when I went out of town here a few weeks ago, I thought, well, I'll just get some instant stuff to help. And this is when we had this conversation. I think it was with Nolan. And then Jackson says he likes the peach one. And somebody likes the strawberry one. I can't keep it all. But, you know, it comes in a variety pack. And the red ones and the orange ones get used first. And then we have a bunch of blue ones left over. You know what I'm talking about? These people know what they're doing up there. They pack that stuff and say, well, I'll just put some of that cinnamon stuff in there. Put some of the other stuff in there. And they'll have to buy the whole box anyway. So we're not going to buy the variety pack anymore. We're just going to buy orange ones and red ones. But I said all that to say this. You got this oatmeal in a bowl. And then you want to make the oatmeal. You want to eat the oatmeal. And you don't eat oatmeal dry and cold like a horse. That'd be terrible. You ever seen a horse eat? It's ugly. I do not want to watch you eat oatmeal at my breakfast table. No. Not like that, I don't. I mean, horses are like just dropping all, you know. It's bad. Or crunching and... Man, you talk about use your teeth. But we take this little kettle. We have a little blue kettle on our stove, and we heat the water up. And it makes a little sound if you remember to put the lid down. If you don't, it's just boiling like, come on. But it can't make any racket because you, anyway. So it just gets so hot, it just, you know, evaporates. So you put the little lid down, and you heat it up, and you pour the water onto the oatmeal. And the combination of the two, the warm water, the hot water, and the oatmeal makes a delicious meal. So my kids say. I'm old school. I just eat the old stuff with the honey. So the Holy Spirit or the God is like that. He wants, I'm just the vessel. You're just the vessel. Somebody is in life as dry as oatmeal, sitting in a bowl, stuck. Nothing's good. Who would eat that? Who wants to be around that? My horse wouldn't even eat that. But God says, you know what? They need this. So you come and you just the vessel and you pour right? Life into them. Wow. Those little fruit, you know, they're all dried up and stuff, and that sugar substance that's in there turns into get some of it. I'm fruits and cream, I'm telling you. Man, you stir it up and they go, wow. And then they like it. What is that? You're just a vessel. You're just trying to get the life of God to the dryness of somebody else. You're trying to get the life of God to the bones that are dried up, somebody that's, you know, that's sad and beat up and you know, bound by the enemy. Try to get them some life. That's what Paul is saying. The gifts of the Spirit are not for you. They just work through you for somebody else. Now, I've had people, you know, speak a word of wisdom over me, word of knowledge. I've had that, and it's wonderful. Because you think, thank God he knows I'm here. This guy didn't know what that was going on in my life. I know that was God because they wouldn't have known that. Right? How refreshing is that when God speaks to you like that? It's a big deal. It's fun. Glory to God. So, with all of these things, I'm going to let Pastor Andy, you know, take each little section and continue to do that. Today, the objective of the Holy Ghost is to show you one, kind of as a whole, what he's talking about here and how it works. Now, turn in your Bible. Let me stay on track here. Go to Romans chapter 5. You guys know this scripture. We won't stay there very long. Let me tell you this. I wrote this down. It says, God will never expect you to do anything that he hasn't already equipped and empowered you to do. He's not going to do it. Would he have sent Jesus down here to do his job without equipping him and empowering him to do it? Nope. Because what he would do then would set Jesus up for failure. So what's he going to do for you and I? He's going to equip you. He's going to empower you to do it. He's not going to ask you. Let me read that again if you wrote that down. God will never expect us or expect you to do anything that he hasn't already equipped us and empowered us to do. God will never expect you to do anything that he hasn't equipped you and empowered you to do. What does equipping mean? It just gives you the correct tools. What's empowerment? It gives you the authority. All of that came through Jesus Christ and His blood and the Spirit of God. We have the Holy Ghost residing on the inside of us, right? He's our power. He's the one that can teach us, right? So God did all. He equipped us and He empowered us to do His will. Glory to God. Now, turn to Philippians chapter 1 just real quick. No, you know what? Romans chapter 5, I didn't even read it. This is in short. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's the second half of the scripture. The love of God is put in our hearts. So God's not going to ask you to love unless He equips you first. He's not going to do it. He's not going to ask you to walk in love and do 1 Corinthians chapter 13 unless He's empowered you to do it. He won't do it. I promise. He's never going to ask you to do anything that He's not equipped you and empowered you to do. So what does He do? He puts in Romans chapter 5:5 here and says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." Holy Ghost brought some love and He put it on the inside of us. So God, with His Spirit and His great wisdom, He took His Spirit and He placed it on the inside of you. And in that Spirit is love, because we know God is love, right? So the Spirit of God comes in you. The Spirit of love comes in you. All right? It's a gift. It's just there. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? The Holy Spirit. That's it. Now, turn to Philippians. Did I say Philippians? Is that where I said go? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Now, this is Paul writing to the church of Philippi. And he's encouraging them. He's encouraging them about some things, correcting some things. And we're going to start, I tell you what, it's kind of his general opening letter. And he says, "Hello," and, you know, "grace be unto you," that kind of thing. And then verse 5, he says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus," or Jesus Christ. What does this say to me, and what does this say to the church? He's telling them that the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ Himself, He's equipped you. He's empowered you. He says, "Be confident of this very thing. The one that has begun a good work in you," what's the good work? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the gospel. He's begun it in your life. He says, the one that has begun that work in you, He's going to help complete it. What's He saying? He's saying, I'm going to help you, or the Holy Spirit is going to help you walk these things out. I'm the author and finisher of your faith, and I'm going to help you. That's what He's saying. So, God equipped us with His love in Romans chapter 5. And then Paul's telling us right here that He's not going to leave us alone. When he put that love in there, He's going to help it come to perfection. He's going to help it work out of your life if we allow Him to. And this is the point I believe the Holy Ghost is wanting us to get to. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Oop, went the wrong way. Just a couple pages to your left. You know what? Go to 2 first. Let's go to 2 first. This is a scripture that we use for the ILEV youth group. Or they still are, but this is something that the Spirit of God gave me way back 6, 7, 8 years ago, I guess. Verse 20 says, and this is Paul talking, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the Christ, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." What's he saying? He's saying that the life that's in me, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. Well, he's alive. He's writing this letter, so he's not dead. What's he saying? Well, what he's saying is his old fleshly desire, his old ways have been crucified. What is the word? I looked up the word crucified. Let me read you a definition of that, all right? Are you ready? It says, I think I wrote it on here. Hang on. I know I did. Surely I didn't forget to. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So I have to when I make notes, I study, I do chicken scratch. I don't know. Some of you guys are probably way more organized like my wife. She does everything. Like when she writes, she used to write me love letters, right? And when I'd go away, she'd write me these love letters. And then they were just like grammatically correct and their spelling was right. I'm like, man, this is just cool. She's smart. She's good looking. She's smart. I mean, she got the whole package. Well, if I've ever written you a thank you note, you know it's from me. Because, I mean, I may scratch out something or write something or put the little marker. I forgot this word. Stick it in there. Oh, that's me. I'm not going to do a rough draft for you. I'm sorry. But my wife, on the other hand, she'd write a rough draft and fix it and do it and make it sound good and just translate it, transfer it over onto my card or my letter. Sorry, babe. So that's what I do with my notes. I write chicken scratch, and I may be driving my truck, and the Spirit of God, you know, praying, He gives me something, you know, and I have to, like, try to remember it or whatever. I'm off somewhere doing something. I'll just write it down on a piece of paper or whatever I've got with me, boom. Or in my phone. That's one of my best spot now. Just take my notepad out, boom, 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 put it in there, right? So I transfer it over. Well, I made it here. Here we go. Crucified. What's he saying? He said, I've been crucified, but he's alive. He says, crucified, it means to destroy the power of or ruling influence. It says to crucify something or is to destroy the power of or the ruling influence. And I put in parentheses, I just went a little bit further and just helped Mr. Webster out and said, it's your flesh. What's the ruling influence when you're born again, when you're born into this world as a baby? What's your ruling influence? You get hungry? You cry. Your diaper's poopy? You cry. You're not happy? You cry. Right? It's their flesh. The flesh tells them when to cry and when to smile, doesn't it? That's the way you start out. Just a little baby. He can't communicate. He can't talk. He can't learn. He doesn't know all any of that stuff. All he can tell you is that something doesn't feel right. Why? And sometimes we want to tell adults that. Why? Right? But the little baby, his flesh is screaming out and crying and telling you that something is wrong. So this is what Paul is saying here, I believe, that he's been crucified with Christ. He's taken his flesh and he's saying, my flesh wins no more. Now Galatians chapter 5, we're going to flip there in just a second. We're going to look at the spirit and the flesh. Now let me go on to say, read the rest of this. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul says, I crucified my flesh or myself with Christ. I'm still alive. I'm writing this letter to you, but I crucified my old way, my old person, and I'm alive, but not, it's really not me. It's Jesus. It's kind of confusing. You're like, what? But he's saying, the life that I live it because Jesus Christ is in me. The life of God is in me. That love that's been shed abroad in his heart is in him. He realized it. Paul had some of the greatest revelation for us ever. He was the one that brought it to us. We're Gentiles. We're not Jewish, most of us, probably. We're the Gentiles. We're the ones that weren't supposed to have a relationship. But God made a way so we could have a relationship. All right, now flip over to Galatians. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I like relationships, especially when I didn't do anything to deserve it, but I needed it. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at a couple scriptures. Verse 17 first, it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, your spirit and your flesh, we're three parts. Y'all know this. We're spirit, we're soul, and we're body. Our spirit is what's born again, right? Our soul is our mind, will, and our emotions. Our body is just our stinking flesh, right? That we have to put deodorant on and brush our teeth because it stinks. And that's why Paul said, I crucified it, I killed it because it stunk. Right? An animal gets hit on the side of the road. What happens? Stinks. What happens? His spirit is gone. He's lifeless. His life's gone. When life is not there, it stinks. So our flesh sometimes can stink. We can miss God like a red barn door, right? On our face we go, flop, splat. We miss God because we're in the flesh. We're doing fleshy stuff, and it stinks. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I crucify that stuff. I hung that thing on the cross with Jesus, right? That's what he said. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So they're contrary. So that's why our mind, our third vote, we have three votes. And if our flesh is going this way and our spirit's going this way, they're going opposite. They're just tug of war like this. But our mind, our third vote, has to go one way or the other. He can't be neutral. He's got to decide in every decision. He has to decide which way he's going. Is he going to help his flesh or is he going to help his spirit? Is he going to help his flesh or is he going to help his spirit? That's why we have to renew our mind in Romans chapter 12. We have to renew our mind of the Word of God and the will of God. So we can tell our flesh what to do and tell our flesh to shut up, you stinking thing. Be quiet. I'm following my spirit. That's what we have to do. right? We have to make that decision. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, I made that decision. I put in another place, he says, I buffeted my flesh. I put my body under. I put my flesh under. That's what Paul said. So what is love? What is 1 Corinthians chapter 13? It ain't flesh. All those things that he says it is not, it ain't flesh. I'm telling you right now, it is not flesh. Now, go on down to verse 19. Let's look at these things. Because love is both a gift, it's both a gift, right, and a fruit. Because the gifts of the Spirit, they're not fruit. They're gifts. They're just gifts. But love is both. It's a gift. It's been given to you in Romans chapter 5:5. He's placed the love of God in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He gave it to you. But it can stay in there and not be seen. It can stay right there. It can be a gift that's given to you and never be seen. But when a fruit comes about, when there's fruit, what is that? You see it. It's the outward, you know, like the visual of man. That's love right there. That's peace right there. That's faithfulness right there. That's fruit. Love is both. Now, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, and it goes through this ugly, nasty, stinky, smelly list. Y'all just read it for yourself. Good night, nurse. Half of them I can't even. The King James, you make a mess of just trying to read them. And then he goes on down and says, verse 22, he says, verse 19 goes through, these are the works. Notice that word, works of the flesh. And then in verse 22 he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't say the work of the Spirit or the works of the Spirit, did he? No, he didn't. He didn't say works of the Spirit. Why is he making a difference? Why is he separating the two? Well, I'll show you why. He says, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, look at verse 24, underline it, star it, do whatever, just make this known in your Bible. So next time you read it, you do not skip this scripture. He says, and they that are Christ, who's Christ's? I'm Christ's. I'm his. I'm in his family. I've chosen him. He says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So I took my little math. I like math. I took crucified the flesh and I separated it. Not with parentheses. It's the ones with the square. I can't remember what the name of them is. What are they? Help me out, Kelly. Brackets. I don't know. Brackets, coach. There you go. Whatever. That's what I put around mine to separate it. So crucified the flesh. Just like Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, we crucify the flesh. Because why? It's smelly. It's stinky. It's just the flesh. The flesh is selfish. Now watch this. Let me give you the definitions between the two words, works and fruit. Why does he make a difference? Why does he separate it? Because you think about works, it's like you think about sweat. Man, you're like just working and doing and going, right? That's exactly what the word means. Works, to toil, to use effort as for an occupation, an act or a deed, labor or work. And then this is what separates it. I kind of added this because once I started reading, I thought, you know what, that's just selfish. Because you're trying to work, and what are we working for? We're working for money. We're working for favor. We're working for those things. Our flesh, that's what it does. So I added not to toil, an act or deed, labor or work for one's own profit or advancement. That's work. Because, you know, it's not works that'll save us. If I try to do all this good stuff, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 said, if I try to work and I do all this, but I don't have love, I have nothing. So we can work ourselves into the ground, just like the world. We can sweat and toil and do and go, and it works nothing. Nothing. It's good for nothing. If we don't have love attached to it, in the end, it matters not. We can't take it with us. The blood, sweat, and the tears doesn't come. So works are for one's own profit or advancement. Fruit, however, because he said in verse 19, he says, the works of the flesh, the toiling of the flesh, the advancement of the flesh, right? The works. But then he says in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and this is what fruit is. Fruit is produced from a seed to be plucked. As for nourishment or food, and the Webster's Dictionary says this, and I thought this was very interesting, the last production for the propagation or multiplication of its kind. In other words, that's big words. Basically, a fruit is more seed just in case the tree dies. That's what a fruit is. He encases, that orange encases the hard things that Nolan calls them, seeds, just in case the tree dies, it can be multiplied. It won't die. As long as there's fruit, it's ever living. Right? So Jesus Christ, who died on a tree, on a cross, he shared some things with his disciples. He gave his, you know, the Holy Spirit came, the life of God came. So why? So we could have fruit. We could be his fruit and have fruit in our life so that his seed would never, ever die. What's his seed? It's love. God is love. So he wants his love to never die. He puts it in us to carry it. So just picture all of us as just little off a tree, off Jesus. We're his fruit. And he placed his seed in us to carry, didn't he? And fruit, there's something else about fruit. It's not for you. If I have fruit on me, and I'm the tree and I got some fruit, the tree's not eating its fruit. I mean, maybe in some weird movie or something, but not in real life. You know, this tree, I'm trying to think of the movie where the trees come alive. It's creepy. I can't remember. And they, Wizard of Oz is the Wizard of Oz. I hate that movie. No wonder. Where the trees talk. They come alive. Real trees don't do that. They take the fruit and they stand there. And the longer they're taking up nutrients and things from the ground, the bigger and badder they get and the more fruit they can produce. But the fruit's not for them. The fruit's for the deer and the grandkids, right? And the birds to come eat. You see, I'm an orange tree. Come eat. I'm a pecan tree. Come eat. Right? So Jesus placed his seed of love in us by his Holy Spirit so that it would never die. Now, why is Paul having to go through, what the characteristics of love are? So that we as men and women can see with our natural eye, this is love and this is not. Because we're rules people. We have to have rules. We have to have boundaries, right? Not that we're going to stay in them or obey them, but we want them. We want to know if we're breaking the law. Give me a speed limit, right? Give me how many times I can be absent and not get in trouble. Right? We want to know, where's the line? Where's the line? So that's why Paul had to write all these things. He said, this is what the flesh does. So you can separate it, so you can see. And this is what love does. And by the way, God has put the love that he wants to be carried out in you as a seed to be carried on and never die. That's why it says in verse 8, love never fails. When you walk in love, it will never, ever fail. Because God doesn't fail and God is love. Now let me, glory to John chapter 15, just real quick. We got 2 minutes. John 15. Y'all remember that tree you're supposed to be with fruit on it? And you're not working and doing and sweating and going, no, it's just the life in you is producing things on the outside. A tree is not out there trying to till up and fertilize and just, grow himself. That's not a tree. No. A tree takes the nutrients and the nourishment that where he is planted, he takes that stuff or it takes that stuff inside of him and produces what comes out. Right? And if we're a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? Psalms 1. If we're that tree that's planted close to Christ or close to the rivers of life, the rivers of water, we'll never fail. We'll never die. Because we're planted, we grow close to Christ. We go close to God. Now, what's it say here? It says, John 15, this is Jesus talking, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman or the gardener. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now, let's go on down to, let's just read it. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine, no more can you accept abide in me. So in other words, he's saying, the life is in me. Verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. What's he trying to tell us? Jesus is saying, you have to have the life of God. You have to have the vine in your life. You have to have that life coming out in you so that you can have fruit. We have to stay close to him. I want to be that tree planted by the rivers of water. I want to be that tree that's planted by the rivers of life. Let me give you one quote that I read as I was studying through this. E.W. Kenyon says, many Christians are weak, though they are sincere, because they have never dared to make a bold confession of who they are in Christ. He says, many Christians are weak, though they're sincere, because they've never made a bold confession of who they are in Christ. What does that mean? It means taking the vine, taking the life, and letting it flow out of us. And confirming what God has already said. I'm an overcomer. I'm the head and not the tail. I am well and I'm not sick. Right? That's life speaking. He says, E.W. Kenyon said that, you know, people mean well. They mean well. But they're defeated and weak because they haven't confessed what the Word says. What is he saying? They haven't put the Word in and let it flow out of their mouth. There's not a flow to it. They got stagnant. They got that like that oatmeal, and they didn't get the Holy Spirit poured on them, the life of God on them. I don't want to be a dry Christian. I don't want to be a dry anything. Right? Even a dry sinner, that's boring. I mean, come on. Right? Have some life about us. Well, I said all that to say this. Philippians chapter 1, just a reminder, verse 6, that we're confident, knowing, there's one thing that we know, that the person, the one that started the work in us, the one that gave us life to begin with, is faithful to continue to see it come to pass. He's going to perfect it in us if we let him. Right? Now, King David, just an example, this is what the Holy Spirit reminded me of a while ago. King David, a man after God's own heart. And Pastor David said this Thursday night. If you're not a part of the sheep, bell sheep, and sheepdogs class on Thursday nights from 6 to 8, you're welcome to come. Get you a book, come. It's an outstanding class. But you better be ready. You better be hungry because we ain't playing. Right? I read the book months ago. It's outstanding. And he said the same thing that just about King David. The Word says he was a man after God's own heart. Well, people, if you're not a Christian that knows very much, you just think, oh, well, King David, man, he was perfect. Yeah, King David. He was awesome. He was a shepherd boy, and he did great things. And he was, you know, ordained as king, and he defeated Goliath, and man, he's awesome. Yeah, he was awesome. But he had a man killed in war because he liked his wife. And as a matter of fact, the man's wife was already pregnant with his child. He had already had an affair. And she said, hey, I'm pregnant. Hello. This kid's going to be redheaded. We got trouble. I'm just saying. That's how I read the Word, man. You better let the Word talk to you. What's the big deal? This baby's about to be redheaded and fair. And my husband is not, he's not even close. He's Italian. No, I'm kidding. So David, it says in the Word, I think it's Acts. Where is that, Miss Barbara 13? Come on now. Where's Axe? I don't even know where Axe is. Let me give you, I hate to give you something that, I think it's 13. Come on, Holy Spirit, where are you? There we are, yeah, 13. Verse 22, he says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Well, we didn't know all the nasty, dirty stuff about David. Unless you read the Word, man, it's in there. Killing people and just, I mean, getting all crazy and sending a guy to war, knowing he's put him in the front. I want him to die because I don't want to have to tell him that his wife is pregnant with my child. Kill him. But God said, what is that about? His heart. He gets it right. We have to get it right. And I think Pastor David gave us 3 points. Be quick to forgive, right? Or quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe. That's the heart of David. That's who he was. He did great things. I want to be the same way. Because you're going to have to repent. You're going to mess up. You're going to fall flat on your face. Period. You repent. You forgive because people are going to mess you around. What does love do? It forgives. Right? We'll be quick to believe. We're men of faith. We're women of faith, right? So glory to God. Father, thank you for your fruit today. Thank you for your gift of love. Thank you for the fruit that's in our life that people can see. Father, help us to be a branch or a tree that is full of life, that is close to you, that we can walk in love, Father God. And when we miss it, your Holy Spirit can teach us and show us how to make it right. Father, you know and we know we're not perfect. But Father God, we want to chase perfection. We want to chase you. We want to chase the love that you have in us. We want to know what that love is. Father, today we just confess that we are loving people. We walk in love. We thank you for your word today. Father, I pray for the congregation this morning that if there's any in here that have not experienced the love that you have for them to become a son or a daughter of God, Father, I thank you to give them boldness this morning. Boldness to come into your family. Father, stir their heart. In Jesus' name, call them. Calls them to know that they're lost and they need a Savior. This morning, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, anybody in here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray with you today and give you the right direction. Jesus died for you. He wants you. He doesn't need you. He wants you. So today, if you're in here and you say, Pastor Trey, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I've come to church several times, or I've never been in church, but I'm just not even sure. I'm going to heaven. I don't even know what it means to be a son of God or a daughter of God. But I want to today. If that's you, slip up your hand and let me see. Nobody's looking around. Okay. Anybody else? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Let me give you one more invitation. This morning, if you've been challenged in your love walk, and you say, Pastor Trey, I want to chase God. I want to know the love of God that's in me. I want it to come out more and more. If that's you, say, God, I want you to just show me an area. Show me just one place, two places, whatever I can fix so we can increase. I want to increase. Show me where I've missed it. Show me where I need to increase. Show me where I need to change. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you right where you sit. Okay? All right? Raise your hand high so we can see it. Glory to God. Or I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. I'm included. God, we can all grow. Glory to God. Anybody else? Okay? Okay? All right? Let me just speak this over you. Father, we thank you for those that raised their hand this morning. Father God, we are a loving church. We increase in the love of God. Father God, you make us increase in love to one another and others, Father God. We thank you, Lord, today that we are walking in your love, and that you're increasing us more and more each day. Father, give us wisdom, give us knowledge, give us revelation in your love. Give us the right things to say, the right things to do, Father God. May we be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe. Father, we want to walk in your love. We don't want to be overcome by the characteristics of love, but Father God, we want that love that's in us, the vine that's in us, to just come out. Show us, Father God, how to yield to that. Y'all repeat this after me. If you want to make a confession over your life, say, I'm a lover according to the Word of God. I'm a believer according to the Word of God. So I love and I believe like never before. That's me. God made me a lover, a believer. I'm going to stand on it and do what God's called me to do. In Jesus' name. That one that raised your hand for salvation, come up if you don't mind. You got to stand with her. Glory to God. Salvation is a big deal. God wants to take care of hearts. What's your name? You can face me. What's your name?